about what makes a church great. Well, we know Jesus makes a church great. Amen. Got to be founded on the Word of God. Amen. All that stuff. Got to have that stuff. But the church is what when it comes down to it? Church is not buildings. It's people. Yeah. It's people. So we're going to be talking about people for the next several weeks on Wednesday night. You say, what about Genesis? We'll get back to Genesis. But it's a summer break. Let's have a break. Amen. Everybody needs a break, don't they? Amen. If you're in the union, you get two breaks. Amen. And a 30-minute lunch. Come on. So you got to have all that stuff. So we're going to have just a little break from Genesis, and then we'll pick that back up as the summer, probably the heat of the summer. We'll probably be picking that back up around July, something like that. Well, P tonight, we're going to take each letter of that word, people. P tonight stands for purposefully praying. Praying with a purpose. What is purposeful prayer then, Pastor? Well, it's not a recital of facts. Purposeful praying is not giving God flowery words or flowery language. That's not it. Purposeful prayer is an intimate time we spend with the Lord. And we can do that individually, amen? And we can do that corporately with a Sunday school class, and we can do that corporately in the church, with the church body. An intimate time we spend with our Lord. The time we share our hearts with God. We share our hearts with God. We share our very hearts with God. And in the process of that, this fervent prayer we're talking about, this purposeful prayer we're talking about, when we do that, God conforms our will to His will. Amen? And also, purposeful prayer includes not just us speaking, but sometimes us just being silent and listening. God wants to say some things to us. Amen? In the still quietness of our hearts, He wants to speak. He speaks through His Word. Amen? He speaks through that inner nudge in our heart. He speaks through that inner voice in our head that we have, right? Yeah? Your little inner voice, your little inner Stephen or inner Stephanie or inner Marilyn, that inner voice, right? He speaks to us. And we know which way or what we need to do. Amen? That's purposeful prayer, right? Purposefully praying means that we ask God, first of all, with earnestness. We got to be earnest about it. Well, what do you... You approach God with, God, what do you want to do with me and through me? You're serious about that, right? What do you want, God, what do you want to do with me and through me? What is it? I'm your clay, God. I'm a clean slate. I'm here. Just take me and use me. Purposefully praying means that we get to that point that we ask God with earnestness, what do you want to do with me and what do you want to do through me? See, when you pray, first of all, pray what's on your heart. What's on your heart? Well, we're going to pray here in a little bit. God got some things on your heart? Amen? Maybe some lost people on your heart? Maybe some tough decisions on your heart? Maybe a health concern on your heart? Pray what's on your heart. Was there an example of that in God's Word anywhere, Pastor? Well, I think there is. Let's look at the book of Nehemiah just quickly tonight. Nehemiah chapter 1, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. All right? If you're in the Old Testament, it's a good ways on into the Old Testament. It's after the history books. 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Chronicles, 1st, 2nd Samuel. It's after all that. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. Okay? Nehemiah chapter 1. Familiar passage to most of us here tonight. Nehemiah chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. Nehemiah 1, verse 5. You found it this evening? All right, let's all stand right quick in honor of reading of God's Word. Word of God reads this. And said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love Him and observe His commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night. Listen to how he prays, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence, and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, he goes back to this. O Lord, I beseech thee. How did he begin? He said, I beseech thee, O Lord. Now he ends it. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant, this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Nehemiah had a what? He had a purposeful prayer life, did he not? Amen. Nehemiah got the purposeful prayer down. He prayed what? What did he pray? Nehemiah prayed what was on his heart, didn't he? I mean, he got it out there. Nehemiah also, he prayed with fervor. Oh, Lord, I beseech thee. I beseech thee, O Lord. Amen? I mean, he was reaching out to touch God. I was sharing with Lillian just before she went out during the welcome that me and her oldest sister, Aubrey, we used to play a fistful of something she wants. A fistful of something she wants. It might be a shiny quarter. It might be a piece of candy. It might be a jelly bean. It might be an itty-bitty little figurine toy, something like that. She was about four when we used to do this, me and Aubrey, right? First one, you know, trying all kinds of fun games with it. But anyway, I would take my hands were probably stronger back then, but I would take whatever she wanted, and I would show it to her, and whoom, suck it tight, you know, close. And she would come, man, that little four-year-old girl, her little hair up in a ponytail, and she would grab her little fingers around these big fingers, and she would just get to, carrying on, and she'd get, one finger open. Well, the international rules of finger opening is when the finger's open, you can't bring it back closed. So once she got one finger open, it's on now. And she would go in, and as each finger came open, the harder she went after it. Amen? I mean, she would just get with it. And then when she got two fingers open, she could see it. Now she really went for it. Amen? And then boom, the third finger. And then finally, I'd be holding on to it with the pinky or one of these other fingers, and she'd finally get that last finger open, and she would just let out with a big giggle, and she would grab it, and she would take off a running. Amen? Like, I got it. I won. That's fervor. Her whole focus was on that hand. Her whole focus was on those fingers. Her whole focus was on the prize that was in here. Now, let me kind of change it up a little bit with you. We've got a God that His hand is open. It's not clenched closed. He's ready to give it to us. Amen? He's ready to throw it on us. Amen? The peace, the blessing, the forgiveness. Right? He's ready to give those things to us. We don't have to pry His fingers open. He's a gracious and giving God. Amen? See, fervor may be expressed by a passionate drive to continually lift something up before God. You just continually lift that thing up. Nehemiah, night and day, day and night. It might be a righteous, determined voice. Oh, man, your prayer closet at home, or your prayer closet on the way to work, or your prayer closet as you travel. Man, you're just crying out to God in a determined voice. Fervor may be expressed by a humbled and broken heart filled with emotion. And fervor may also be expressed by a trip to the altar in public worship. Thank God, we've got to meet now. I've got to talk to you about this now. I've got to go down and pray about this now. Amen? See, when you pray, pray what is on your heart. Pray with fervor. And thirdly, pray for the results to glorify God's name. Amen? Pray that the results glorify God's name. That the healing glorify God's name. That the deliverance out of sin glorify God's name. That the salvation glorify God's name. That the breakthrough glorify God's name. That whatever we're praying what's on our heart with fervor, whatever, it might glorify God's name. Well, purposefully praying means we ask God with earnestness. But secondly tonight, let's talk about, as we talk about the P in people, let's talk about what is a house of prayer. What is a house of prayer? Jesus, as he entered the temple, he did this twice in the Gospels. As Jesus entered the temple, Jesus declared his heart in Matthew chapter 21, verses 12 through 13. The Word of God reads, "And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of what? Prayer, the house of prayer. But you have made it a den of thieves." What does he say? What's the inference? What's the application of Matthew 21, 12 through 13? Man, what is a house of prayer? A house of prayer is God's people. A house of prayer are God's families. A house of prayer is His church. A house of prayer. Man, we ought to be proactive. Each and every one of us, proactive dwellings of prayer. Because the church isn't the building. The people are the church. Amen? That's right. Well, Pastor, how do you build a house of prayer? Well, first of all, we want to pray the foundation. Now, take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. That last part of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verse 24. Matthew 7. We're talking about praying the foundation. Matthew 7, 24. Have you found it? Word of God reads in Matthew 7, 24, "Therefore, whatsoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Well, when we talk about foundations for church, well, certainly Jesus is the foundation of the church. Certainly the Word of God is the foundation for the church. But the rebar that kind of holds it all together, the post-tension, where they come in and ting, 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 tighten it all up. It's got to be prayer. Our prayer's got to be the lime in the mix. Our prayer's got to be the aggregate. Prayer's in there, amen? Prayer's part of the foundation, amen? Prayer is the foundation upon which spiritual life is built. Without prayer, we're not going to go very far with God, amen? Prayer is the foundation upon which spiritual life is built. Listen to what John Bunyan said. He said, "You can do more than pray after you have prayed. But you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed." John Bunyan. Amen? Pray the foundation. How do you build a house of prayer? Pray the foundation. Have a foundational prayer life in your church, in your Sunday school, in your Bible study. And we do that. Amen? Amen? We do that. Let's celebrate that. Pray the foundation. Secondly, how do you build a house of prayer? Pray the walls. Pray the walls. Psalm 28:8 says, "The Lord is the strength of His people, a fortress of salvation for His anointed one." Right? A fortress. Walls assist in maintaining the integrity of a structure. This last flood that we just had, it came up what? It came up and it took out walls. That's where it starts. It comes in doors and crevices in the walls. And the pressure of the water pushes against the walls, right? Walls assist in maintaining the integrity of a structure. The walls bear the weight of the roof. You need walls to section off different parts of the house, provide privacy in certain parts of the house, sometimes provide protection in certain parts of the house. As we pray the walls, we pray to be strengthened and sustained and to be upheld. It's okay to pray those things for yourself. You know, Lord, I'm not as young as I used to be. Might you sustain me today? Might you strengthen me this week? Might you uphold me this coming month? It's getting hot out there, Lord. I need your sustain. Pray the walls. I need your help, God. Amen? Pray the walls. Well, how do we build this house of prayer? Well, we pray the foundation. We pray the walls. But thirdly, we pray the roof. We pray the roof. Psalm 32:7 says, "You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance." Well, God covers us up, doesn't He? When you pray the covering, God, will you cover me today? Will you protect me today? When you pray the covering, you are praying for protection. You are asking God to do what? To watch over you. Amen? See, a roof covers a house. A roof helps protect the contents of the house from exposure to the elements. A roof allows us the opportunity to rest in safety and security. Well, we take roofs for granted, don't we? Until they leak. Yeah. And then when they leak, it's a real big deal, right? But most of the time, it's just kind of out of sight, out of mind. Don't let God's covering be out of sight, out of mind. Ask Him for it, man. I mean, just say, God, help me. Help me, Lord. Pray, amen. We're trying to build a what? A house of prayer. Amen? We must proactively pray for the protection of our families, for the protection of our friends, and for the protection of our fellow believers. And why do we do that? Because the demonic is roaming, because the devil and his demons are active, and they want to take us out. They want to take us down. They want to render our witness ineffective. They want to render our church ineffective. They want to cut us down at the knees. Amen? They would rather have us divided instead of united praying together. Amen? That's right. As we pray for the foundation and the walls and the roof, we also pray the windows. Pray for the windows. John chapter 8, verse 12 says, "And spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Well, aren't windows great? The windows let in the light, don't they? When we're praying the windows, we are praying for wisdom. We're praying for understanding. We're praying for direction. We're praying for discernment. God, I need some light on this subject here. Give me your wisdom. Give me your Holy Spirit understanding. I mean, I'm telling you, I need some direction to go which way or the other. We need to pray that. When we come to those crossroads in life, when we come to those major and sometimes even minor decisions, we can ask God for His help. Amen? As we what? As we build a house of prayer. And then finally, folks, how do you build a house of prayer? You pray the furnishings. You got to put something in the house. I mean, you got the foundation, you got the walls. Jackie, don't want to leave you out. There's plumbing in there. Amen? Right? And there's electrical and all of that other stuff. But as we pray for the foundation, the walls, the roof, the windows, you got to have something else in there. You got to have some furnishings, right? Furnishings fill a house. Furnishings make a house a home, amen? That's what furnishings do. Furnishings are the tools. Furnishings are the furniture. Furnishings are the clothing of life for a house, right? So we should ask God to fill our lives with things of Him, right? Well, what do you mean by that? Well, We should ask Him to fill our houses of prayer with righteousness and holiness. And how about that furniture of peace, right? And that table of joy, amen? And how about that big living room set of God's love, right? Maybe a pantry of forgiveness over here, amen? We want to fill the house of prayer with all of these things, amen? We have a God that we can do what? We can come to Him boldly and petition Him and ask Him, amen? And is he tight-fisted with us? Oh no, He's open-handed with us. Amen? Don't forget that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we're going to have a time of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You tonight. We thank You, Lord, for Your people. We thank You for the prayers of Your people, Lord, and we thank You for the earnestness in which they pray to You. Lord, help us tonight be vessels. Help us just be that conduit as we intercede on behalf of others. We pray for salvations tonight, Lord, and we'll pray for healings for others, and we'll pray for helps for other folks. But Lord, as we leave here tonight, and as we head home, and as we find ourselves back in our beds this evening, may we have some time to pray and maybe lift up a personal need, personal concern. Something that, Lord, we really need some help with. Need some light on discernment, wisdom. Maybe need some protection from. Dear God, help us not leave those times out either. Thank You for loving us, Lord, and thank You that we can have time to set aside to speak with You together. It's in Your name we pray. And everyone said, amen. All right. Praises tonight. Yes, sir, Bob.